Let's do it. All right. Go. So we want to do a roll call.
Sure. Director Phillips?
Here.
Director Cooper?
Here.
Chair Doyle?
Here.
All right. We have a quorum.
All right, thank you. Do we need to introduce the guests?
We have no members from the public, but we do have our contract water operator, of course, Jeannie, and then our contract engineer who needs a new contract.
So he's a contractless engineer, right? Yeah. All
and right. Don't forget the first husband.
Oh, we have legal counsel. Sorry.
All right, welcome everybody. So we've got no public, so we don't have to worry about public comment.
Matt?
Yeah.
Could you move and take out of order item 8.1?
Yeah, we. You want to do that one first,
Yes,
Jeff?
We could do that one first.
So before the consent agenda?
Yes, please.
Okay, let's go ahead and jump to 8.1.
Are you going to leave that, Jeff? I haven't.
Yes, I'd be more than happy to. That basically, as you all know, is an extension of the rules that allow during emergency declarations under certain circumstances, the board can still meet remotely and not conduct an in-person meeting. And not have to comply with all the procedures that are set forth that allow that if you were going to have remote meetings under the Brown Act. It's basically what we've been operating on for some time. It was due to expire and it was adopted. The governor assigned the legislation extending it. The problem is, so that it doesn't become a way to evade in-person meetings forever. The way to evade it is every 30 days, so long as we are under, number one, a continued national or state emergency, and number two, either a local agency or we have determined that we can't conduct our meetings without the ability to, we cannot conduct our meetings currently and adhere to social distancing, then if those two conditions exist, we can continue to meet remotely. But every 30 days, we have to revisit this. So every board meeting, we're going to have to revisit these two conditions and make sure they're still in place. And once they are no longer in place, we can no longer continue to avoid the requirements of conducting a board meeting remotely, which means that each director attending under the traditional Brown Act has to post an agenda of the meeting at the place where the director is going to attend the meeting remotely and make the place accessible to public persons who might wish to attend. This exemption basically does away with all that so long as those two conditions exist. So I think the board, particularly given the size of the office and the ability that social distancing is difficult, meaning that to adhere to social distancing, we would have to find a larger spot. I think the board would wish to adopt this resolution, and I would strongly recommend that it do so. We will revisit every 30 days until the exemption goes away.
Can I ask one question real quick? Can we, on the next agenda, just put this under consent and then just have this under as a consent, or does it need to be a action item, an open kind of non-consent action item each board meeting?
You know, Kevin, that's a darn good question, and I don't know the answer to it. I didn't see any discussion of how the board can approve this as long as it's a majority vote. My gut would tell me that nothing under the Brown Act allowing for consent agendas is affected by this legislation, which would mean yes. And if that is the conclusion after I go back and look at it, we'll have this on the consent agenda at future meetings. But if I find any hitch in the get along, this will be on the agenda, but it'll be the first item on each agenda for the future board meetings.
Perfect. Okay. So I will make a motion to approve the resolution of the Durham Irrigation Board meeting authorizing remote teleconference meetings of the board for 30 days pursuant to the Ralph M. Brown Act and California Assembly Bill 361.
All right, we got a motion on the floor. Do I hear a second?
I can second it.
Okay, we got a motion and a second. Seeing no public in the meeting, that does means we don't have any public comments. So let's go ahead and do a vote.
Chair Doyle?
Aye.
Director Cooper?
Aye.
Director Phillips?
Aye.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeff.
Welcome. Thank you.
So let's move along to, I think, item three, no presentations. Now item four, consent agenda. Do I have a motion?
I make the motion.
We got a motion. Do I hear a second?
I can second it.
Okay, we got a motion and a second. No public comment. Cammie?
Chair Doyle?
Aye.
Director Cooper?
Aye.
Director Phillips?
Aye.
All right,
looks like that passes unanimously. So we got the regular agenda. We got nothing removed from the consent to talk about, no correspondence. We can jump right into water operations business, item seven.
Awesome. Okay, guys, so not really much to share for last month. We had a couple small repairs that were a big pain in the butt and fought us till the end, but I'm glad they're behind us. So we got them buttoned up. One was a leak behind the alley site. Only a few residents were affected by the shutdown, but we got that one taken care of. And then we had to push a repair off for another because we just didn't have the parts. I couldn't find them anywhere. I tried everywhere, including Yuba City, and they didn't have them. So I just had to wait for the proper parts to come in to fix them. And then I just, you know, normal stuff, responding to demand requests. And then I've kind of started working on the library site, the piping in there, it's iron and the paint's kind of like flaking off of it. So I'm just kind of like wire wheeling it up and so I can get it prepped for paint, and just been kind of painting it when I can get a chance. So it's going to turn out really nice. I think you guys like it.
Nice.
And then that's basically it.
I wanted to note that I, Raymond, you had asked me to kind of look at Mike's daily log. So I did revise it a little bit. I sent that back to you, right, Mike? Just to see.
Yes.
So now it just has the regular hours and duties column, any after hours column. And then I have meter reading at the bottom just because it is a flat rate. So it doesn't matter how those hours figure into the total. So
okay.
I think that will be a little easier, at least from that perspective. So wanted to point out that that change was made.
Yeah, I got to look at it. But thank you for that.
What was the size of the pipe, the steel pipe that you didn't have the band for?
It was three inch pipe, but it was an older pipe, and the outer diameter, it fell in this range in between like what most Ferguson usually stocks on the shelf. So it was like right in between one size down, one size up. It was a special order band just because, you know, the material isn't very commonly used anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Any questions on that item from the other board members? All right, let's go on to item B.
Okay. So I was talking with Jeff about this a little bit earlier, and I should have, I think, I just need to let North Cape Petroleum know that you guys are like a public water district. Because what I'm going to have them do is I'm trying to get all the generators and everything prepped for winter. And I was going to have them come by and fill up the reservoir and the generator site at, or the, oh my gosh, the generator at the library site. And that's what that's pertaining to.
Is that just a one-time thing, Mike, or is this a...
Yeah, it's once a year. I mean, I just had them do Butte Creek Estates, all my sites at Butte Creek Estates. But Butte Creek Estates, they cycle their generators. They have like a runtime. They run them like once a week. We don't run the, we do it like maybe I do it quarterly for the generator there, just because like that's what our permit allows for. So we won't need to have them. It will be like a one-time thing. You know, I don't think that you guys necessarily need to fill out their application. And I also, you know, I'd be totally willing to foot the bill and just bill you guys later if it's easier that way.
That'd be fine. Guys. If it's okay, as far as coverage on that, Kevin, you got an issue?
Yeah, I'm going to just weigh in here. Yeah, I would approve the setting up an account as long as they're good with keeping it under Durham Irrigation. I don't think Mike needs to carry our credit on this. Let them know who we are and that I know that they've dealt with other special districts or water districts out there.
Okay.
And the reason why is because if we do have a long-term outage, you're going to need them on call to be able to get loads in immediately. And that's not something that you need to be carrying the burden on that. So I think if you would want to set up at least a 1 to 2 year contract with them, I would totally approve that from my standpoint, to be able to have them on call, available for pricing. And, basically what you do is just set the pricing available to what it is, and then have some credit available to us for that.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Matt, if I may, just so I get it out on the table, I'm the attorney for Northgate Petroleum as well. My guess is they didn't understand that this was a irrigation district and a public agency when the application was made. And I know both of the owners, and so I, with your permission, and not with any purpose other than to clarify who the applicant will be, I will call and speak with the owners in the morning.
Yeah, that'd be great, Jeff. Appreciate that. I think that that'd be better than us trying to sign something or having Mike on the hook for this.
This is they do not need this.
Right. Yeah, that'd be great. Appreciate that. And Mike, I have a question for you, and maybe Raymond was going to ask this. Do we is once a quarter enough for us to cycle that generator?
I could probably be doing it monthly. I don't know. Sorry, I'm trying to pull something out of the smoker here.
He's always cooking stuff.
Yeah, sorry. I'm the cook in the house. Like, my wife doesn't cook, so
you can always turn your camera off if you would like. We won't be offended.
Yeah. So I mean, I could start doing it monthly. I just kind of figured that would be okay. But I mean, if you guys want me to do it monthly, that's totally fine too.
Well, we're going into winter here, and I think it'd probably be a good idea maybe to keep it on a monthly schedule just to make sure we have it running and know what it's like. I mean, quarterly is great, but if you check it in August, not again until January, it might be too late.
I think the only, the way that we're simulating power outages, is we do a disconnect. And, since the library is in lead, I just didn't really want to do like load transfers while it's in lead, you know what I'm saying? And then have all the other pumps kick on. But now that I've switched to the winter program, I could totally do it monthly. I did that today. I reprogrammed the Holland pump to run during the day when usage is a little bit lower, but library still kind of handle the peak hours, peak demand. Go ahead.
Well, I would just say one thing that Mike mentioned, Matt was that there might be a permit from permit condition from air quality that would govern, you know, how we do it. But I it's up to me. The more, the better. The more you run it, the better.
Let me look at the air permit, and if it allots for it, I mean, I'm not against that at all. Just let me. I'd have to double check and get that information before I could give you an answer on that.
You know, that's other thing to might keep in mind. You're talking about fuel. You know, that genset has a relatively small fuel tank. Might be something to keep in the back of our mind. You know, I don't know if we could have an auxiliary fuel tank, like maybe, and I know we really couldn't put one outside without going through a bunch of permit hoops, but like maybe even a 100-gallon L tank that there was room inside somewhere that we could have the plumb into that tank or something.
Yeah.
Just something to keep in mind, you know.
Honestly, I mean, we could have it we could do something like that. I'm pretty sure, at least just something on site for storage. I don't know what the permitting would be, but even if I had to like physically run a hose over and refill the reservoir, that's still a viable option.
That would make it kind of more worth Northgate's while, that they can come out and we can buy 100 gallons instead of buying 20, you know?
Yeah.
I think that thing holds 20 gallons or something. I know it only runs for about a day.
Yeah.
Raymond, we can't siphon gas off of your RV in the backyard?
We could, but it would probably, our generator wouldn't like it.
Yeah, he runs that good gas too, so we could we'd get the good stuff.
I just remember Kevin having to do that.
All right. Anything else, Mike, on your end?
No, I'm just kind of, I mean, I just kind of bring you up to speed on like things I'm doing this month. I'm meeting with a North Valley Tree Service. Actually, I'm meeting with John from Durham Pump to have him scope out the alley site, because we do have a couple of branches. There's an oak tree and things that are kind of in the way that I feel like would impede the progress of doing like a tank install. So I was going to have him come in and just get an idea of like his crane operator, see, you know, what would need to be cleared out. And then I was going to meet with North Valley Tree Service on the 1st of November to get a quote. I'm having R&R Horn redo the alley there to get that prepped. And then, I'm a follow up with PG&E too, because they're really dragging their feet on getting this pole replaced, and it's leaning pretty good. And I just like between we have a line that dropped from the pole to our service, and there's like an oak branch right over that line. I think that if it were to shear off, it might like yank on the pole, and I don't like the situation at all. So I'm trying to get that buttoned up, but they're kind of.
Those oak tree branches like to fall, so
and that's it's on my radar, so that's why I'm kind of getting on this.
Okay, sounds good, Mike. Any other comments from any other board members? Thank you, Mike. Let's move on to general business. We've covered 8.1. Let's move to item 8.2.
All right, so there's also the written manager's report that gives a more detailed summary of some of these things. Some are just updates, some might be some action required. I just wanted to provide the board with kind of a list of ongoing things, Matt, we can meet with as part of the administrative committee with Jeannie to talk about it in more detail, so that she feels that she knows at least maybe some of the things that she can take care of until the board determines what you're going to do for management. So that's what this list is. It's more of a comprehensive list just for your records. But the first one on the list is just for the pressure tank replacement terms and conditions and preliminary cost estimate. Mark Adams is here. The action requested is to authorize North Star to look at the existing concrete supports and assess, calculate if they are adequate to meet requirements for newer lateral loading, the seismic, and confirm how the tank is attached to the concrete. I think in previous meetings or at one point discussing whether those supports are adequate for a new tank, even though it's the same size and potential weight. I don't know, that tank is pretty dang old. But I just want to make sure it doesn't go rolling off the supports and into a neighbor's house.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that the cost is probably within the amount that I was authorized to just say, go ahead. But since with the change in me leaving, I didn't want to just make that presumption. So that's why Mark, among probably the reasons Mark is here.
So question, Cammie, on that, are we, because we were looking at that pressure tank and then we had some questions, I think you note them down here below as far as, are we ready to have him do that? Are we ready to go forward with the project or where do we stand on it overall?
Well, I think as you recall, Mike sent an email that he's discovered a pinhole leak. Mm-hmm. In that tank, we do need to move forward with it. There are concerns. He's pulled that well offline for the winter, if I'm correct in that, Mike, because of concerns for sediment, but definitely want to have that pressure tank in there before spring hits when that site needs to come back online. In identifying some of those were the original concerns with the cost estimate, but also making sure that we know once we order it, they need a firm date for delivery. We got to be ready for it. And because otherwise, if we say, oh, wait, we're not ready, there's a storage fee. So,
yeah. So is this part of the meeting, Mike, you're having with John?
I'm just trying to make sure that I have the alley site prepped. So whenever we do pull the trigger, I did inform him. Oh, when I reached out to him today, he informed me that lead times have increased. So, from when we actually pull the trigger on it, it might be a little bit before we actually get the tank. And then I know that freight is insane right now. It's like six times what it costs to move something minimum. So that's another thing to consider with going forward with the tank.
So did they ever come back and give you the full quote, including the two items that you asked for clarification on? Did they ever resubmit it with everything comprehensive, all the parts, everything?
I think so. Cammie might be able to.
Jamie sent us something here a week or two ago.
There was something. There was an updated quote. I think it was $7,000 more. And then Jeannie followed up to ask about the shipping costs, and they had, I believe, said that it was included. But I have a hard time believing that, and I think we should double check that at some point.
Because they were saying one thing, and the if I recall, they were saying one thing, and then the contract read differently.
Yeah.
Okay.
That it does not include shipping. The terms and conditions specifically say that it does not include shipping costs. That's what crating and shipping costs, and that's why I keep reiterating this before we.
Yeah.
Okay. So. So we've got really the clarification of the quote that still needs to be done. And then we're going to have Mark go out and do the calcs on the supports and everything. Is that correct?
I think, maybe Mark can weigh in here. There's no as-built for those supports. So we have no idea what type of reinforcements in that concrete. And I'm kind of half worried. Yeah, we're gonna have to build all new supports for this thing. Maybe if we can satisfy ourselves that a cursory review of the site would be adequate, or what are your feelings, Mark?
Well, I think my idea was to, run some numbers and see what sort of forces we're talking about, and then see, if we make some basic assumptions about what's there, does it fall apart or is it close, somewhere in between. So I just, first step is kind of order of magnitude. Mm-hmm. And is the way I'd approach it, kind of a common sense type deal. And, the concrete looks, it's looks good. There's no cracks, when I went out there with Mike, it's been a while since I looked at it, but it's pretty solid. And maybe there's just some way, if it's close, we could come up with a way to just reinforce it. I'm worried maybe in the
longitudinal direction. Longitudinal, there,
yeah. And
spring brace in between
X braces or something in there.
The one thing I had, if you start looking at seismic, you're going to have to start looking at tie down. So
yeah.
If they're fabbing that tank for us, if it's not an off the shelf item and they're fabbing it, maybe this is the time we ask them to, weld some tabs on the side of it. Yeah. So it sits down and has, something that we can anchor to, rather than trying to find some way to strap it to the perches,
Yeah. So, it all means that timing wise, Mike's working at trying to see if there's a problem with the tree and stuff like that. If I can get out there in the next, this next month and take a look at the structural stability of it and just see if we've got anything that we need to do there before we order, maybe make a decision at next month's meeting on ordering it. And does that give enough lead time for everything then? And we can, like Raymond said, we can have them add some tabs to it or something like that.
The only thing I would just say is that it is really important. I can't stress it enough that we get this done before summer, because it is kind of a hazard. If we're getting pinhole leaks, that means that the wall is very thin, and it's the only thing in the district that absorbs hydraulic pressure, especially during, when we have all pumps running. And if we don't have it online by then, we have a lot of old infrastructure that I don't think would take water hammer very well. And we're going to be in a different ball game if we don't get it wrapped up. So that's just my thoughts on it. I'm kind of worried about it, and it kind of scares me working around it. Not going to fail, but if it did fail, it'd take me out. So that's another thing to consider.
Hey, Mike, did John say what the lead times are now?
No, I'm going to talk with him on Thursday about it, try to get a good idea. But just like with everything else, it we're in a weird time. Just something as simple as meters. I ordered 6 meters a month and a half ago. They got 1 of 6 in. Everything that isn't a regular stocked thing, it's really difficult to get materials and stuff. So I think that just kind of translates to having something manufactured as well. And then again, freight is just, it just keeps going up. The cost of moving things just keeps going up. So we're just in a weird time right now.
We're talking about a safety issue. So I think that, in general, I think we'd be good to get going on it and get the deal. I guess kind of waiting for John to give us the final, we've been waiting for him to kind of include the freight and the crating and everything else on it and delivered product. If it's buttoned up and ready to go, and Mike, you give it the thumbs up and Mark's ready to look at it and provide bracing and strap down tabs or whatever else we need, then so it sounds like the ball's in Durham Pump's court right now.
Okay. So let me see. Maybe Jeannie might be better at following up with John with getting, I'll talk to him and I guess just getting the actual things the freight, the crate, everything that you just mentioned. She might be able to formulate that into an email better than I could, communicate what we're looking for.
Can I ask one question, Jeff? Can we give authorization to Jeannie or to Cammie or to Mike here to pull the trigger on a up to amount to get this thing rolling so we're not coming back? With, if Mark can get out there in a decent amount of time to give authorization of how they needed to brace this, can we just give a maximum amount here?
I don't know if Jeff heard you that you were asking him, but do you mean for if the support structure needed fixing as well, like?
I think he's saying like give him a little bit of leeway, like if it falls within this range plus or minus, we Kevin, am I speaking for you? But just
yeah,
say,
just pull the trigger. Let's do it. Yeah.
If it's within, okay, we've got a quote for six, I don't know, whatever, X amount. And if the new stuff that these guys that Raymond was just talking about and the stuff that Mark needs to do falls within a band, you know, when it's delivered and all these items are squared away, if it's within an X amount, then let's just do it.
That's exactly what I'm asking. Yeah.
I mean, if we're within 10-15%, we got to do it. If it comes back 15% more expensive, we're still going to do it, you know, so.
May I weigh in here just for a moment?
Yes, please.
We have a very convenient, very quick procedure that we can adhere to within the next 30 days by convening a special meeting with 24 hours notice to get the board together in this type of remote conferencing. That would be another alternative where we could get some more firm information rather than giving a broad width of authority and have both Mike and Mark come back to us with a little more certain information, and we could then really, with some specificity, give direction.
I feel like we got it narrowed down pretty good. I mean, I would trust Mark to let us know if all of a sudden it's going to cost us $20,000 to retrofit the site, that we would pump the brakes on it a little bit. I mean,
understood.
And regroup.
I do remember one of the last quotes that we got, I was looking for it in my book, was $77,000, I believe, for the tank. So if we find out what Mark has to say, we can maybe make some assumptions. And then for freight costs and taxes and whatever else, kind of come up with a number for that. If that gets us within that, what were you saying, Raymond, 10 or 15% more?
Well, I thought we had a pretty good estimate at this one that Jeannie gave us. And, you know, I mean, we need to verify that does include shipping, or if it doesn't, then, you know.
Right.
I feel like we can trust Mark and Mike to, you know, look at each other and either go, okay, let's go, or, oh, we better let the guys know, you know, or make sure that they got enough in the bank to cover that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm definitely, it, you know, I definitely would not just be like, yeah, sure. You know, I would consult you guys first.
All right. That's, are we given authorization, or are we going to still reconvene?
I would move that we give authorization that if it's within the scope of what we've already discussed to keep moving forward, because it's pretty important. You guys want to put a limit, you know, if you're in within 15%, or
I'm down with that, Raymond.
What do you think, Mark?
I think that sounds good. And I mean, we'll have an answer if it's not here in, you know, in the next couple of weeks, one way or the other, if we see any big issues. If you need help with John at Durham Pump, let me know. I know John, so I can talk to him also and just tell him to, come on, John. Out the door price.
And if there's something extraordinary, then absolutely we will have to reconvene, you know. But
yeah.
if we're headed down the same road, you know, and we're close, let's keep trudging.
Mark or Mike, do you have any dollar amount that you think would be a max to put on this?
No, I don't.
So the last, is there another, a number? The last number that I had was 77,150 for the tank.
Yeah.
Jeannie, was there something after that in your email regarding?
The estimate that I circulated, I believe, was from May of this year. And there's definitely a more recent, one that happened after that, but yeah. I did not get a copy of it.
So on July 27th in an email, there was, John had sent an email in response to Mike asking, originally it was like 70,000, I think. And then it went up in that series of emails in July to 77,150.
So can I make a recommendation? Sorry, I'm back on. My computer died. Can I make a recommendation that we authorize a not to exceed of 90,000, including the expenses associated with North Star Engineering and any additional retrofits that might be necessary to make sure that the tank meets all of the specs associated with current engineering requirements of a not to exceed of 90,000?
I second that. Oh, sorry.
We got a second from public comment.
Okay, so if it exceeds more than 90,000, we're going to reconvene.
Yes.
Correct.
I second it.
All right, we got a motion and a second. Cammie, you want to go do a roll call on this?
Chair Doyle?
Aye.
Director Cooper?
Aye.
Director Phillips?
Aye.
All right, Mike, all the power is in your hands. You've got 90K to spend.
Oh, boy. I'll spend it wisely.
All right. Cool. Sounds good. Thank you. Thanks, everyone. Thank you,
Mark. No postcards from Cancun, okay, Mike?
I can't go on vacation. I got too much responsibilities. And I got a baby who's going to be here.
Like, yeah, but in a
day or two.
Pocket, you can splurge.
All right, Cammie, going back to your list, anything else that needs additional attention?
Let's see, Mark, good, since you're here talking about the bid package, I know you were looking for some guidance on contracts, but the bid package for Brown and Faber Alley Mainline Replacement Project. And if I recall last, you were looking for some contract language, I think. And I don't know if there's
There's two things. One, I'd like, we have kind of a plan that shows what needs to be done, but I think there needs to be some specific specifications, you know, for performance. It doesn't have to be much because there's only a few items of work, but we need something just to make sure that we're managing expectations. I learned that term from an attorney I've worked with. And so I have some documents we use all the time. I have kind of started. What I'm wondering is this something that I could talk Jeannie into helping me with to take it, you know, and do a little wordsmithing on to get it ready to go? It would be less expensive for the district, I think.
And I would also throw in Nicole if she needs to assist too, and there would be no expense to the district.
Okay.
So you have more than enough people to help.
Okay. So, I mean, I can get that done pretty quickly. And then it's just the front end contract document. I don't know, Jeff, you sent over the stuff, an example from CARD.
Yes.
That's pretty involved stuff.
Yes.
That like a shorter form stuff?
Sure. We can work on something.
You know, just so that there is a contract, you know, when we and then do you want to refresh the prices from the, I think you got two bids. Do you need, or do you just
I think our problem, but what happened, Mark, is we got a couple bids. We got one from R&R Horn and one from Brown Engineering, and they weren't really an apples to apples.
Gotcha.
So, well, I think we're really looking for mainly is, you know, besides the contract information and that you're talking about, is just a solid item list that they can bid.
Yeah.
You know, so they're bidding on the exact same thing.
And I have that. And if we can throw a couple of these specs on there, you know, with a simple contract document, then we can shoot that back over to both these guys. That'll get them apples to apples. You already approved me, you know, some time ago for, I think, like $3,000 on this project. This is all still within that. There's no extra costs that I see right now. So I just want to make sure that's the way you're going to do it. And that if I start pushing these documents through, well, you know, it's not going to stall out. At least we're going to get it to these guys to bid on.
That'd be great.
Okay.
So I'll communicate, Jeff, should I just communicate with Nicole or?
Any work to prepare, just email it over or communicate directly with her. I'll alert her tomorrow.
Okay.
And if we get balled up in something, then we can enlist Jeannie as well. Jeannie okay. And Nicole have worked together before.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Moving on.
Yes, please.
Okay. So everything else on that list are just updates on things that we'll want to continue moving forward on. And at some point, perhaps the board having a workshop to discuss those items. I did include a summary of each of them. I don't know if there's questions on any of them. We have the capital improvement plan that has projects and cost estimates. I don't know if we want to at some point review and prioritize identified projects. I know we have the Brown Faber line is on there. The pressure tank might even be on there. I haven't looked at the list recently. Also, along with that, kind of combining what North Star did with the West Yost CIP done 14 years ago, there was some additional things in that one regarding water storage. I think the district should think about water storage, especially in times of drought or emergency. And it did talk about, because we do use groundwater, that we do have some groundwater storage, but that may not be enough, especially when it comes to fire flows, given all the different pipe sizes within the district. So there's that storage analysis in that. So that's the CIP. I can just go down the list, or if anyone has questions on each of them, how would you like to proceed?
Well, what do we have that has a timeline? I mean, weren't we supposed to have the lead service ladder whole thing done? Like, wasn't that due like a year ago?
That was great. No, the way I wrote up that timeline was I bought us till like 2027, I think. Yeah. So I think in that I did talk about we're supposed to do things, but the projects kind of were to start in 2023. Because we were tying it to a potential update to the capital improvement program in terms of prioritizing projects. So that one doesn't have a timeline. The one that is most timely is the USBR grant. For the meters, we got a one-year extension on that, and we have not figured out how we want to implement that. For we have to match every dollar spent. So we haven't spent any of their dollars, but once we start utilizing that money, there's a match. So given the need of a tank and the Brown Faber line, that pretty much uses up what we've got in the bank. So I haven't pulled the trigger on, well, and apparently we can't get any meters. So maybe that's a reason to extend, request an extension.
Yeah. Well, I think the idea of a workshop is probably the best bet. I mean,
yeah, we could spend some time, and there's going to be deep dives on each of these to kind of go back and see, you know, what it was and what we wanted to do at the time. Has anything changed? We probably might need a side meeting on this. I don't know.
Well, we definitely would need some help on this. So, I mean, I think we maybe have to ask if, there's some help from North Star or something to take one of these things and take it to the grave and finish it up if that's what we want to do, you know.
So Raymond, on that, I think maybe a meeting, if we can set it up, and I know we're all really busy, but maybe with Kimmelshue, the county got a ton of COVID money and they're spending like monopoly money. A match portion out of that COVID money based on water infrastructure would be peanuts compared to what they're spending their money on. And I think if we can kind of talk to Kimmelshue about bringing some of that funding back to his jurisdiction, I think would be a worthwhile conversation.
Yeah, I have no idea how that works. I know what you're saying, though. I watched a couple board meetings, and I mean, the stuff that they're spending it on, I feel kind of hard to find the nexus, but, I don't know.
The district could also look at, so with the ARPA money that I think Kevin is referring to, that the board has a list of projects that staff from all the different departments had pulled together, and that's what they were voting on last week. But they do have another bit of funding that's coming in May of next year. So they have some projects that will be evaluated as to whether they'll be funded with that half of the money. So perhaps getting a project added might be possible, but the district might also want to consider talking to the Vina GSA about some projects in terms of, you know, if there's infrastructure related projects for related to water, groundwater use efficiency. But we can see if there's possible things under that. As well.
So Kevin, going back to your comment, is this something where we clean this list up and sit down with Kimmelshue and say, hey, what's available? Or do we want to clean this list up and identify two or three heavy hitters and go and say, sit with him and say, hey, here's what we've got as far as big ticket items that we need help with. What would the county be interested in helping us with?
Yeah, if I was to take a gamble, I would say let's find some smaller ones that look like kind of smaller projects that look he could just throw on there without a lot of discussion. I don't know if bigger projects would get through at this point with the funding. But if we have, let's say we have a meter replacement grant for 75 and we need 75, they would throw 75 at it without even blinking an eye. And, you know, so that's where kind of I'm coming at with the ARPA funds. With the bigger funds, I like Cammie's idea. If we can come to some idea of that, you know, funding of replacement of pipeline would create a decrease in pumping because of loss of leakage throughout the pipelines. That could be a GSA project that would show that we're not pumping as much based on savings within the leakage of the piping.
Yeah, that would definitely be a good one to go after the Vina GSA with.
To add to that, to add a project real quick, storage also, if you guys can pump and store in the winter when there's higher groundwater levels for summer usage for whatever fire flows or back emergency response. Just saying, something to think about.
The one item that has a legal timeline on it is the replacement of the meters by 2025. So by December 31, 2024, all of our connections have to be metered. We also have already qualified for a grant on that one.
Yeah.
So if we can match that grant with money from the county, we would be, number one, getting the feds to pay half of the cost of that, the county to pay the other half, and we'd be complying with a legal mandate to meter the district by the end of 2024. So I think, Kevin, that would meet your definition of something small to start off with the county. And it would be something that really would get the most bang for our effort right now.
Yeah, and we could show that the areas of unmetered services are one of the lower income areas of Durham, which I would think would link into that ARPA fund also.
And that too is consistent with the groundwater sustainability plan, in that metering curtails excessive use. So I think that that would be the lowest fruit to pick right now, hopefully.
So do we want to go out him? Do we want to go out Kimmelshue with this one, or do we want to update this list and see, have a workshop? Or
I would have a workshop. I think a workshop is a good idea. Yeah. I think that we start with some of the easy ones and then see how far he's willing to push, because I think that he didn't really get too much in that first round. And Conley got quite a bit of money towards updating water. I mean, he got $1.5 million to Palermo. And so he put a lot of his, Kimmel should put a lot of his dollars into the homeless side of things. But I think he needs to bring a little bit back more to the valley side. So I think there might be some effort here that would go a long ways.
I think you're right, Kevin. I think that would be a good feather in his cap for his constituents in Durham.
I agree.
Okay, so let's schedule the workshop and let's refine what we have on the list, discuss some of the things, have Mark there, have, you know, the team there to be able to review that and be able to look those up and see what we have, what's on the list. I guess we might even want to look at the prioritization list that we had initially, but and then after that we can take that list, identify the ones that are maybe specific to go back to Todd with, and we'll see what we can do.
I think that's a good plan. If we wanted to go statewide on anything, just let me know too, because I know Gallagher is really interested in kind of coming up here and looking at you know, water is a big one for him right now too. So I wanted to look at that.
We look at that.
Set up a meeting.
Well, once we get that nailed down, Kevin, don't you think we should take that list to both of those guys and say, hey, here's what we're up against. What, sure. Where are you at with this? And what's something that you think is feasible given the cost and given the impact, and let them pick and choose at it.
Sure, absolutely.
I think if we prioritize those, and I like your idea of putting it on the where the money would be going towards, which is the lower income areas. And I think if we did that, I think they'd jump at it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay, so, well, Cammy, Jeannie, maybe do we want to set up a workshop that's convenient for all of us to be able to sit together and do this? I mean, we're already almost in November. Maybe we can get some dates circulated on different times that work for Mark and the team, and let's see if we can sit down and start to put some numbers together. Raymond, go ahead, Cammy.
Do you want Jeannie to maybe send a doodle poll with some dates and times?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Evening during the week, I'm guessing, or?
Yeah, or maybe even late afternoon. I think we did the last ones at North Star in the late afternoon, early evening. I don't know. Yeah, send it out. Let's see what everybody says.
Well, probably Kevin and Mark are probably the Mark's retired, but probably the best. the guys that we probably have more things going than at least me. I mean, I got a lot of stuff going, but I can juggle stuff probably easier than Kevin can.
Yeah, I can juggle. If we get far enough out there, I'm pretty good about blocking something out. I mean, just let me know what I could even do it during the working hours if necessary.
Yes.
Like maybe a pre-lunch, set those scenario.
Totally. Yep. I could do that.
Jeannie has a question for clarification, I think, Jeannie.
That hand has been up for a while. In terms of this, the workshop, so you're looking for a date for the directors and Mark Adams to meet to go over the CIP and other projects and prioritize them? Okay, I'll be in touch with you guys.
That'd be great.
Maybe it'll end up being a doodle poll. No, I had two questions now. The hand was up for one question and then another question.
Okay.
Was for Jeff. I was back to the pressure tank. That's how long it's been up. I sent over the boilerplate language, and I just wanted to make sure that looked kosher. So there was that. And then second, on the Bureau of Reclamation grant, the only deadline that I see in Cammy's report is the annual report due October 31st, 2021. So I just don't want to forget about that.
Yeah, and it'll take a half an hour. If there's an example, just copy it.
Okay.
In the folder. It will take no time at all. Yeah.
Sorry, Jeannie, I just realized your hand was up. I didn't see it on the board. So I'll be looking for that. I've never seen a hand raised on here. So now that I've seen that, I'll make sure to acknowledge that in the future. Sorry.
We've never seen anybody so polite.
Usually Pat Buttons is rummaging right through the things is going forward. So sorry about that. Okay, so we're good on that one. Are we?
To clarify too, Jeannie mentioned the CIP list, but I think just even maybe looking at the list of outstanding projects as well. But if you're updating the CIP, I'm looking at the lead service lateral stuff. You can link that to water quality when it comes to groundwater. Linking some of these things to groundwater would be good. Just a side note.
Okay. All right. Cammy, that was your general manager's update. Is there anything else on here that you wanted to?
8.3, is it?
8.2 is done. Are you good with 8.2?
Yes.
Okay, let's move to 8.3. Go ahead.
So this is technically my last meeting. And so wanting to discuss some options for general management of the district, including if we're advertising for general manager replacement, contracting, if you want a person, engineering firm, some other variation or combination thereof, so that we can start that process moving forward. I don't know if Mark wants to be a district manager in his retirement.
I see him shaking his head. Yes. Let's go for a vote quick.
So can I make a recommendation that we advertise in different publications that deal with water management, Aqua being one, for a part-time general manager, being a either contract or employment. And with that, I would like to ask Mark if he would find a way to put a interim general manager in place for us in the meantime.
Yeah, I could do that. As far as Mark doing it, yeah, I'm not sure. There's one of the board members that I'm not sure if I can work with. I won't tell you which one. You'll just all have to wonder. Or maybe it's council. I'm not sure. No. Let me take that back to the office and see what we could possibly do to help out and bridge.
I think our scope really of what we need right now is really kind of with Beanie taking care of so much stuff. It's definitely going to be different than like when we needed Kristen or when Cammy first came on.
I think you're right, Raymond. I think a lot of Jeannie's questions could be answered by Mark and or Jeff. I would say Jeannie does 99%. I won't go that high. Sorry, Jeannie. Jeannie does a lot of the work of what I have been doing. Most recently, over the last few months, been focusing kind of on Vina GSA, but being available for Jeannie to answer specific questions, like when we get something about the demand requests or who should I be contacting about XYZ, or so there's questions like that that I think, maybe Mark could even answer and or Jeff, and it's just having regular, probably once a week meetings where Jeannie can just ask those questions. Until you find someone more permanent. And then I would also recommend that perhaps she and Matt coordinate a little bit on the agenda, where Jeannie can draft the minutes and the agenda, and then go over the agenda with Matt. I think Jeannie and I have a good system set up where she pulls stuff into a folder and then it's kind of up to me what gets put on the agenda in terms of some correspondence, if it's administrative stuff, and we can just deal with it internally. So I think between Mark and Jeff could probably answer most of her questions. I think Mike has been asking Raymond operational questions, and then if Jeannie could coordinate with Matt, at least on the agenda items.
Maybe I can also, we can also talk about any financial issues that come up as well, or anything that's concerning with the budget, or any, capital items or anything like that. I could help with that as well.
Because I think when Jeannie and I would, we haven't most recently, but we would have kind of Monday morning check-ins, and Jeannie was always really good about organizing her questions, and maybe she could schedule that with Jeff and Mark. Once a week and ask those questions and get direction and probably continue to do most everything else. But just so Jeannie doesn't, if something's falling through the cracks, that she has the support of engineering or legal or each individual.
Almost like in my mind, I kind of picture somebody like Robin Campman that could maybe, somebody who's familiar with our district that doesn't need to really be a manager, but maybe somebody we could go to and say, hey, Robin, can you get somebody to work on Durham's USBR grant? And then like make this a little bit more task specific rather than being
general,
managerial type of thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And not necessarily, you know, I mentioned, Robin, because I know she knows our district, but I wouldn't be like all of a sudden, give that to Robin. It'd be something that we would say, okay, this is what we want worked on, you know, have Robin, you know, check and see if there's availability, if she has an engineer that could do this for us, type of thing, you know, or kind of what, you know, kind of what we're doing with Mark tonight, you know, but on a little more regular basis.
I can't speak to Robin's availability. I know what it was when I left.
Well, I just, you know, I mean, that's kind of a wish, but, you know, I mean, it just...
Yeah. And I hear what you're saying, Raymond. And I think, you know, what Cammie's saying too, between Robin and I, one of us can fill the deal if you're talking, you know, just to kind of touch bases weekly and just to be a resource. I like that idea a bunch. So yeah, we can take care of that. And I just need to get a little, you know, I haven't been in the daily dialogue with the district. So get a little better idea, you know, of all the stuff Jeannie's doing. You know, I've known Jeannie for quite a few years, so I know how talented she is. So she's a great asset. So.
Well, I think that's one of our main priorities. We don't want to leave Jeannie high and dry with, yeah, you know, we want, you know, her to have some resources to get some help when we need them, you know.
Yeah.
So we need help. I think we could probably see how it goes, and, you know, just the managerial stuff that Cammie was doing, you know, that would be pretty taxing to just ask some, you know, somebody at North Star to take that over, and probably be pretty expensive. But rather try to us, you know, kind of look at it more on a task basis, you know, and a check-in, you know, just kind of keep up with what we're doing, but not really, you know, expect a whole lot of general manager stuff just yet until we kind of get back on our feet.
Right.
All right, so Mark's got that action to kind of go back and figure something out on that side. Thank you, Mark. And then I'll plan to touch base with Jeannie as well. And Raymond, sounds like you are on the engineering side, but between the financial and the agenda, I'll start to try to get in touch with Jeannie on a weekly basis so that we can stay on top of all that as well.
Yeah, I'll throw my hat in there too. I can help Jeannie with the agenda setting too. I think that we can maybe narrow down some of the tedious projects while we're doing this too, to maybe some more written reports that we just kind of go through a little bit more on the agenda than more of the updates that are, you know, comprehensive, to help her kind of work through some of the agenda items so that they're not so, time consuming.
Yeah, I think also, Kevin, on your end, it's very helpful from your perspective on stuff associated with our policies and procedures. So if there's anything that comes up on policies or procedures or anything on that, I think you're kind of our resident expert on those kind of things. So, kind of sending that stuff to your court if and when it comes up. For Jeannie to be able to know, hey, we've got an issue with somebody who's asking for this, our policy says that, maybe you'd be the first line of defense on all of that stuff.
Definitely. Could totally help on that.
I thought the policy manual was like mostly in draft form.
Well, I think that's where Kevin maybe could help out with some of those things and start to, you know, we talked about bringing a chapter a month to the board meeting and start getting some of that stuff, you know, those chapters approved so that we could start setting it in stone and start operating under that. So maybe that's what we can start with Kevin.
Accepted.
Okay.
Okay. Right. What else, Cammie?
That's it on my end. Next step is attorney report for anything not on the agenda.
Really quick before we go to Jeff, Cammie, what about the putting the ad in the, I think Kevin said the Aqua, the job posting, I guess. Do we have who's going to take the lead on that?
Well, I'll, my job description is in, like, all of the tasks and descriptions we have on file. So I would recommend that maybe Jeannie look to see what's out there, the way that they're advertised, kind of come up with a draft of what that would look like, and then adjust any of the description if it's that detailed to apply a little more to Durham, and then go from there. The, you know, CSDA, they have, I think we can post jobs on that as well. So maybe there might be someone out there that does contract management elsewhere that could do the same.
Yeah.
For the district. So maybe starting with that draft. And I mean, Jeannie's familiar enough, obviously, with the district to be able to revise it to what is really happening. So
okay.
She's good at crafting that.
that sounds great, and getting something up and posted and see what happens.
Yeah. And I'll throw my hat in there and help Jeannie with that too. So Jeannie, reach out to me if you need any assistance with that.
Okay, good. Thanks, everybody. Cam, anything else on?
Was there one other? Oh, yeah, there's, never mind. I'm sorry. So go ahead.
You good?
Yeah.
All right, let's close that item eight out and move to the attorney report.
You're on mute, Carter. Jeff, you're on mute. You are on mute.
Who muted me?
There you.
I muted.
Did you sneak in here when I went chasing the dogs?
No, I have control.
Control.
I'm happy to hear about the workshop. I think it's fortuitous that we're approaching that now, and I think we need to do it rather than going from emergency to emergency to urgent matter to urgent matter. If we could get a work plan in place and begin tackling it and come up with a 5-year plan or a 7-year plan to tackle all of it, I think that would be wonderful. And then what I would suggest we do with that, once we get that, is we go to our landowners and begin promoting that, because number one, we're at the last level of our rate increase that we adopted back in 2019. And number two, we're looking at the button initiative in 2022. And I think that we could use the combination of explaining to our landowners our capital improvement plans and why we need them, and how important they are to undertake. And number two, come up with an actual capital plan to pay for it through rate increases or through loans or whatever. I think we would go a long way to justifying a new rate increase over a 4 or 5 year period, and see Button and his cohorts in the backwash of what we're doing positively, rather than trying to focus on what they're trying to do negatively. So that's the way I leave it. But let's get that workshop going. I think that'd be wonderful. A good start.
I agree, Jeff. Thank you. All right, let's switch to item 10 with the Vine and GSA. Cam, you got an update on that one?
Yes. I did do a little write-up talking about, you know, in the future, we kind of talked about it last time about the role of Durham with the joint powers agreement. The other thing, just identifying some dates of future meetings. The SHAC met today to discuss the GSP, just to kind of put all of their thoughts and comments that they have on the GSP, because the GSP comment period ends today at 11:59. And then we will be compiling those comments and taking them back to the SHAC to review and make any recommendations for changes prior to the GSP going to the board in November, and then for final adoption in December. One thing that I did want to bring up, and I do have part of the presentation from today that we are considering, is changing, if you remember, the measurable objective, not the minimum threshold, the lower line, but adjusting the measurable objective. And I think, Raymond, you were there at the in-person workshop. There was some concern raised by various SHAC members about the location, the measurable objective, and where that line fell on some of those hydrographs. And so staff has indicated that we could look at a higher measurable objective. I will say that of the 9 out of 10 SHAC members that were there today, 5 of them voted to not change the measurable objective, and 4 of them wanted to look at where that line could be adjusted to. And so just know, Raymond and or Matt, if you are at the future meetings, board meetings, that that might be something that would be moved forward. There's a lot of, I think one of the board members mentioned that there was some concern on his part that so many of the people that provided comments on the GSP at the both the in-person and virtual workshop were not happy with the GSP, and that was concerning to him. So just know that that might be coming forward, although the shackle staff is going to do it. They're going to look at a different location for the measurable objective and raising it up, even though 5 members said no.
Cammie, can I, what were the 5 members who were against, and who, if just maybe just a random selection, and who are the 5 keeping it and 4 against?
The 5 that were in favor of keeping the MO where it was, I didn't want to say the 5-4, the 5 that were, oh, now I need the list of names. How about if I tell you the 4 that want to move it, which was Ann Dawson, Jim Brobeck, Todd Green is
okay,
now on the
show. Okay, that's fine. I'm good. Okay. That makes that. I just wanted to make sure where we were at with that.
Yeah. Okay, And so, and I won't say necessarily moving it, but just looking at the option of moving in that and what it would look like.
Yep.
So,
okay.
So, Cammie, have you started your new role?
Yes.
So that's your main objective, is being in on all these discussions with the Vina GSA?
Yeah, and you know, just participating, I guess, from a different perspective. But the other thing, and I think I wish I was doing this all along with the board in retrospect now, but, you know, looking at, I think I recall a meeting that Jeff had shared with Thermalito, where, you know, some of these things may need to be discussed here at the board level, so that, you know, when Raymond is really voting on as part of the GSA board, that he has guidance from the rest of this board.
I completely agree wholeheartedly, because it's lonely on that board. It's nice to have a little bit of backup from our group, and also on what the constituents think.
And for whomever is representing DID on the management committee, also speaking up and giving either opinion or not opinion, guidance based on what this board wants. So I just kind of putting that out there. So as in the future, as the, I mean, we're right now, the management committee is essentially staff and providing support. But at the same time, we also, as on the management committee, might want to make sure that we're representing the opinion of the board and not just, you know, what I think should have happened, or so I'm just sharing that as well. So if Raymond, if you want, we can discuss in more detail what was presented, or you can just wait to see if it gets presented, but just to give you the information.
I'll just throw my hat out there too. And I know that Matt and Raymond have taken the brunt of this. If you guys need a reprieve on the GSA board, I would throw my hat in there to reprieve you at one point. Just let me know when you need that assistance.
Be careful. I'd be all for that, but maybe we could just pick a milestone, and we could take turns type of thing, maybe at the beginning of the year we can each take a turn, or maybe at the adoption of the GSP we could,
That works for me. If we want to do it at calendar year, I'm good with that.
Well, that way you can, didn't we discuss before that we would revisit all appointments at the beginning of the year anyway?
He's gotta be chairman though first before he gets to go to find a GSA. That's not fair for him just to leapfrog me like that.
I'm gonna leapfrog right over that. Right now, I don't want that responsibility.
Hey, you got to work your way up, bub. You got to go through the minor leagues.
All right, you're on GS. You're the on GSA. I'll take chairman.
Well, on second thought.
So I will say, just as a reminder, that the adoption of the GSP is set for December 15th. So with that in mind, January, I don't think there will be a meeting in January for the board, just for the shack, but either way, January might be a good, at your January meeting, appoint whomever is next and how you want to do that for moving forward with GSP implementation.
Sounds good.
Yeah, the first annual report for the GSP is due April 1st. I mean, the GSP does not have all of the current 2020 and 2021 data in it. So.
Okay. Anything else on Vina GSA, Cammie?
That's it. So Raymond, if you want me to share that presentation, it is online as well.
Is it on our GSA website?
Yes, under the SHAC meeting, you'll see item 2, the presentation.
Okay, I'll take a look.
I know sometimes you sit in on them. Actually, the next SHAC meeting might be an interesting one to sit in on.
And that is?
That one is November 4th. It's in the afternoon. It's a different time. We moved it so that we could meet before the board.
Okay. I got something going on to November 4th. So I got something in the morning, but I'll put that on my calendar.
Yeah, and we'll have a remote option.
Did the chat meeting go 3 hours today?
Yes.
Oh boy.
All right. Anything else?
As far as GSA or anything else? Anything else?
Anything else on Vina GSA? Okay. Let's move to director's comments. Raymond, sounds like you've got something.
Well, I had a question in the Cammie about field meter service fees. Did we ever decide? I got contacted by a certain property owner who has no service, although he's paid for one, but he has nothing to serve on his property and he doesn't want to pay his bill. And inquiring about a sealed meter fee. And I thought we had that out a couple times. Already
we talked about it, and I was going to look on Appendix A to determine if we had one or not, and I can look that up real quick. I didn't look it up,
but I remember Kevin had proposed like half the normal fee if the meter shut off, services shut off, that we wanted to keep them on the books and keep them paying. But when I asked Jeannie about it, she she could not find anything.
Yeah, there's all we have in our, we just have a disconnection and a reconnection fee.
So if they disconnect, do they still pay the meter fee?
It just says disconnection fee. Let me read. No. It just says disconnection fee and reconnection fee.
So what happens during the period between disconnect and reconnect?
Can I just butt into Raymond's director comments? Sorry. Under our normal rate and fees when it comes to, service fees, is there a sealed meter fee on that rate sheet?
No. I'm not seeing one.
Do you remember us having this conversation before, Kevin?
Oh, yeah. I totally do.
Yeah. I do, too. That's why.
So it's
Ed McLaughlin. It's that parcel behind the post right. that he demoed the house. And he eventually is going to want to put a meter there. He paid his $650 for a new meter, but the service is capped at this point, and it's going to be, a long time before he figures out what he's going to do with that parcel.
Was this one of the ones we talked about, whether we were questioning whether the impact fees had been paid or?
No, this has service already.
Oh.
This was an existing house with a flat rate service.
Okay. But can I ask a question, Cammy, just from a procedural type of thing? When we go out and seal a meter and for non-payment, do we just stop charging them for service, or do we continue to charge them for a service at the full rate?
We have not sealed a meter for non-service since I have been at the district, because we haven't been able to, per whatever law, regulation, or something that went into effect, that we couldn't turn people's water off. Right, Jeff?
Yes. So Jeff, do you remember what, I think maybe we need to look further into this then.
It seems to me, if I may, that this might go hand in hand with reviewing our fees and rates as we go through our capital improvement plan. So the workshop should be maybe more than one. It should be one to get in order what our wish list is for projects. And part two would be, how are we going to pay for it? And I think we do need to come up with a definitive statement about people who are within a certain area and never had a connection, they've had a well, and now they want to connect to the district. What do we charge them? And then something like this, this case involving Ed. So I think it may involve, again, a workshop. I know we explored it back in 2018, and now might be a good time to re-explore it again.
Well, and in addition to that, we did not solidify how we were going to approach, and this is where the workshop would come in handy, how we're approaching people that have been in the district that haven't been connected, what we're going to charge them from back from 2011, if they were already in existence. We don't have a standby fee for people, so it goes back to that conversation that we had last month. So I guess if someone's gonna pay for a meter and seal it, do they pay even a standby fee? I mean, when you say sealed meter fee, do they have to pay something into the future?
Well, I think we want them to pay something. I mean, I think, what's Paradise do?
Charge half
the normal monthly fee?
Yep, half the monthly fee. And if Ed wants to set his meter now because he's trying to lock his price in, then he's going to be part of the district and he should pay his portion of the infrastructure associated with the opportunity to have water service to that parcel. That's the philosophy.
So he would be right now he's paying $40 and sealed meter, he'd go to $20, we'd put a meter in it and he'd just be on hold until he got a new dwelling on there?
That's the philosophy.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if that's not part of our policies and procedures, we can't do it at this point in time. We're going to have to make some adjustments. So Raymond, do you know if he's paying, is he paying a monthly service charge on that right now?
Yeah. Well, he's been paying the full flat rate fee up until this last month. And when I asked Jeannie about it, when we realized that he actually paid for his meter install, she switched him to the 3/4 meter fee monthly. So now that's what he's being charged. So he has a little bit of credit because he's been paying the flat rate for these past several months.
So my thought is, under our current policy, it'd probably be better for him to technically disconnect until he's ready to reconnect, because then that would probably eliminate that flat rate charge. He would be grandfathered in because he paid his meter charge and he already has his capacity fees charges associated with that. So
why would we allow him to go to zero, Kevin? I mean, that's not in the security because we allow of the it right standby.
Because we allow it now.
No, he's paying a meter fee, which is a $20 baseline plus the ups.
No, that's not part of our policy.
We don't have a policy.
So with the meter, he's paying zero?
No, he's paying a flat rate right now. He just decided to go and pay the meter charge, but he's not wanting to use water for the next X amount of time until he decides what he wants to do with it. But our policy states that he can disconnect for a certain charge and then be disconnected from the district and not pay anything. And therefore, and then reconnect for probably the charge for setting the meter, I'm assuming. And during that time, I would assume he pays nothing into the district. Is that correct, Cammie?
Yeah. Disconnect and reconnect.
Right. But he would keep his capacity fee because that lot had service associated with it.
So when we were going through the rate stuff in 2018, we had a rate policy summary that summarized a whole bunch of policies, you know, and one of them, number 10, properties on non-payment lockout is the best I can see. The policy decision is to charge and accrue the normal monthly service charge for metered services during the lockout period, or metered equivalent for flat rate services.
Yeah, that was 2018.
Yeah.
That was the policy decision that was discussed.
The only difference between that and what Ed wants to do is the lockout, the lockout being due to non-payment versus being the lockout voluntary.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I can see in the policy stuff that is even close.
Well, I think the spirit of it is, as long as he's paying half of something, then he retains his spot within the district. Isn't Kevin, isn't the spirit of it is that if you decide to cut it off and not pay anything, then you lose your spot within the district. But how is that implemented in our system?
I don't think we got that deep into it. So that's the issue is, you know, the thought in logically what you would say is that you would freeze. So let's say a connection fee right now, and he's been paying in since 2021, and the connection fee right now is $10,000, and he decides to disconnect. The logical policy would state that as long as the connection fee when you reconnect is $10,000, you would then pay $0 in to reconnect. But let's say the connection fee goes from $10,000 to $20,000, you would pay the additional portion because you weren't paying into the district during that time period. But I don't think we've gotten that deep into our policy to allow that.
I thought that that's what paying half of the connection fee per month kept you in. It kept you from having to pay that reconnection fee. So if you went to 50% of your fee, like if you went from $40 down to $20, in good faith, you kept your spot in line. So that if during that time we upped our connection fee from $10,000 to $12,000, you wouldn't be subject to that $2,000 because you've been paying 50%. You come back in, we hook you up, you're good to go.
That's correct. We just don't have that policy.
We don't have that policy. That's right.
These policy, not Down
Here. So we can't say that. So we'd have to approve a. I mean, it seems like a pretty straightforward policy.
Can we amend our current without a Prop 218? Can we amend?
No, we have to do Prop 218 because it's a charge on parcels.
Oh. So, well, then there's the answer.
Yep. But I thought we did that, but it appears that maybe it wasn't part of the final package. So Jeff, can you look at that just to make sure? Not final package.
Yes.
Because I thought it was. And if not, then we really need to put that in on our next rate adjustment.
And also, should we have had to approve the switch over to a meter without having a meter?
No, that's standard. But we do that. If the property changes hands, they have to go to a meter, and we charge them $650. That's what we've always done. The property changed hands. He no longer is eligible for flat rate. He has to go to a meter, and we charge him $650.
Okay.
The only difference is then he's not using it, which normally everybody uses it. So,
well, a lot of times we've had lots of cases where we haven't had the opportunity to go out there and make that switch and theoretically put in the meter, but even though they paid the $650, so we just drop it down to whatever the meter rate, monthly rate is, and that's what they pay until we can get out there and actually get the meter in and get it installed.
But we had that place down on Durham Street. I think that couple rebuilt that, John and Christy Patterson. I mean, they switched it over to a meter and they continued to pay while they spent a year doing the rehab of the house. They gutted the place and they continued to pay, I would assume. Yeah,
they still use water. I mean, they got dropped to the three-quarter meter rate instead of flat rate until we got the meter in.
Right.
When we finally got the meter in, then they paid three-quarter meter rate plus usage. And they still watered their lawn, and they used water to wash the paint bucket and everything else. So yeah, they used water.
So on the metered rate, we have what? It goes from 40 to 20, and then it's metered, right?
No.
It goes
to flat rate. 5271, it might be last year's.
Yeah, Jeannie, go ahead.
He went from $57, that property went from $57 a month flat rate to $31.89 plus usage on metered rate.
Right. So $31.89. So if we were to amend our policies and procedures, it'd be 50%, $16 as a standby fee. But because we don't have that in our policies and procedures, what do we do?
Correct. Charge them the 31.
So Jeff is going to review that whole, because I wasn't around in 2018. And so I just have the fees that were listed. So Jeff's going to update, look at that.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff.
And then if it was part of that whole package, then we just amend that. Exhibit A, and if it wasn't, then you add that on to your next rate increase.
Okay, sounds good. Any other director comments?
Just I want to say thank you to Cammy. Good luck in your next adventure, and we really appreciate all the work that you did for the district during that time, and look forward to working with you on the other side.
Great. Thank you. I've enjoyed it, you guys. I've had a lot of fun. I'll be your public input now.
Don't forget, we're your favorite.
We'd love to have you back.
Matt or Jeannie and Cammy, we have a written resolution for the so if you can just make certain that is signed by Kevin and Matt.
Is that the one for the recall vote?
No. We've done that one already. This is for the resolutions to continue our meetings remotely.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Mark, anything else from you?
Got nothing.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us tonight.
I missed the cookies.
That's the only reason to throw that proposal out the window. All right. Raymond, Kevin, anything else?
I'm good.
Good. Thank you.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next month. And thank you very much.
Good night, Al.
All right. Good night.
Good night.